What are the lifestyle patterns that a naturopath suggests for longevity and good health? We'll find out on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Naturopath Dr. Nazirak Amin is with us today. And I'm curious, what's the most devastating habit that you find associated with poor health in the patients that you see?
Well, I think in general, you know, we live in a culture of where we just have wrong definitions about who we are. And until we really correct those, you know, we have disease. And disease is sort of a process that, you know, people say words like, you know, I caught this, or, you know, something just came in unexpectedly. But really, disease starts off slowly, and it usually starts off in an acute sense. Mm-hmm. And it develops into a posture, and then those postures become more crystallized as we get older. Mm-hmm. And so when I see patients, you know, the goal is to help them to get rid of that posture that is not serving them well. So, you know, first of all, we need to understand that we're not just a physical body with a soul somewhere out there in the universe, and that we're actually a soul having a physical experience as we, you know, travel through this plane. So once we correct that definition and have that understanding, then, you know, the first question is, well, who am I? What's my purpose? You know, why am I here? And I think, you know, living in a materialistic culture, we don't get to really ask that question. We get, you know, these ideas of success and failure placed on us, and most of them are around, you know, financial goals. Mm-hmm. You know, to be successful is to be rich, to have a whole lot of stuff. You only have one lifetime. You want to live it to the fullest. You know, these are all myths that we need to get rid of and understand that, you know, we are reincarnating souls on an infinite journey, and we're here to work out on this plane our karma, to grow and to expand. And that is unique to us. So when I see people, you know, I'm sitting there, and our disease, so I talked about a posture. So our disease is that posture. And usually how the posture starts is, you know, it could be childhood, it could be a particular incident, but it's a pattern that we get stuck in. But what I want to say about that pattern is, to the degree that pattern is out of alignment with the way that things really are, that's the level of sickness that we have. Do you mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So, go ahead.
You speak of purpose. How does a doctor incorporate purpose into the life of a patient? And how does it even come up when somebody comes to you and says, I've got high blood pressure, or that's kind of associated with African Americans. What's a common disease or issue that is associated with white Americans?
Well, I think all of us suffer.
Okay.
You know, and there's many diseases out here. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, one particular disease. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, I treat everybody who comes through the door from birth to death. You know, even helping people get pregnant can be a mm-hmm. disease, because we don't always want to do seemingly good things for the right reasons. So if you're trying to have a child so that they could take care of you when you get older, then, or, you know, for some other reason that is trying to fulfill something that you need, mm-hmm. then that's not really the right reason to be having children. So you have to help people. And a lot of times those perceptions are what's really blocking people from actually getting pregnant. So we do a lot of fertility work, and in that we help people sort of get balanced. So that balance is unique to everyone. So how do I do that? I don't necessarily bring up purpose. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. But people come to see. So let's say somebody has arthritis, and maybe they have heartburn, or it could be or an autoimmune disease. But when they come in, I have them explain to me exactly what their symptoms are. Do you understand? Most people come in and they'll start talking about what the doctor told them is wrong with them, mm-hmm. and then they start defining it based on medical conditions or literature. So I don't want any of that. I want to know what it means to them. So if you have a pain, what is the pain? And then they start with, well, the doctor said it was this. But no, what is your experience of the pain? Because that experience, that sensation leads to, so I tie in the physical experience of the pain in the case of high blood pressure that may or may not be there. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day I had a gentleman who came in after these elections happened, a few of them, but wow. one in particular came in with his blood pressure just wouldn't go down, and he had a headache, and he didn't have health insurance. So, you know, we're trying to work with him. And in the process, you know, I had to encourage him to actually take the meds because his blood pressure was so high. Like, his blood pressure was, I think, 200 over 130. Wow. So there was a transition process to ease him out of the shock that he was in, because right. that's what it was mm-hmm. that created the state where his blood pressure went so high. And then as he gradually sort of came out of that state, I mean, I supported the drugs with, calcium, magnesium, some other herbs that actually work for hypertension. Mm-hmm. But those herbs would have taken a long. And behind that, I gave him a homeopathic remedy, which is really to address the bigger state behind it. So that's energy medicine. So what we want to do is use energy medicine to help pull people out of these states, because the state is not real. It's a delusional state. It's our energy stuck in not in present time. Do you understand? So people get to their purpose when they can get their energy in present time. So disease kind of starts like this. You know, let's say you or I, who, you know, live in D.C., decide to take a trip to the jungle, you know. And we're with a group of friends, everything seems good, we're walking through the jungle, and we see something that we like. And we say, all right, y'all gonna take a break, I'll just walk over here and check out this thing. And we get halfway to wherever we're going, and then the lion jumps out on us. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? What's a healthy response in that situation?
Run.
Run, mm-hmm. exactly. That's completely healthy. But now, let's say it's 2 weeks later, and you're walking through your neighborhood in D.C., right? And your neighbor's dog comes running up. And an hour later, your neighbor finds you up in his tree. You know, was that a healthy response?
Yes.
You know, no, it wasn't. It was a dog.
Oh, wait, right. wait. You're saying if your neighbor finds you up in his tree an
right,
hour
because
from
his
there?
Dog, his pet that you know, that you have seen
okay.
before.
Okay.
Just came walking towards you. You had that same response that you had in the jungle 2 weeks before.
All right.
Do you understand?
Well,
that's
I've
not
been
a healthy response.
By a dog, so I'm remembering that.
So we take that, right? And then let's say a few weeks later you're at work and the boss starts yelling, and you have the same exact response, but you realize mm-hmm. I'm at work, and you know, and he's yelling, but I shouldn't be responding like this. And then let's say more time goes on. So maybe 3 months later, you know, you're having an argument with your spouse, and you have the same exact reaction.
Running
right?
in the tree.
Not. No, it's the internal reaction. So right. what is going on? So there's a sense of fear. There's a sense of sudden danger. Mm-hmm. There, not just sudden danger, but a very violent kind of sudden danger. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you're about to be eaten by a lion, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you decide, you're like, you know what? We need to go to counseling. We need to work this out. But when you get there, you know, you're not going to go to the counselor, and the counselor says, well, you know, when y'all were arguing, how did you feel? You know, your response most likely is not going to be, I feel as if I'm, I was about to be eaten by a wild lion. Mm. But that's exactly the sensation. And it has nothing to do with the person on the outside. That's your internal way that your energy is entrained in this response. Mm-hmm. So in order for somebody to heal and even to have a healthy relationship at this point, because a lot of times when we're in relationship, you know, I don't give couples advice, because if somebody's not healthy, they could be in a relationship with a partner who's completely healthy and telling them exactly what they need to hear. But if they're not healthy, then they can't hear it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So instead of giving relationship advice, I help get people out of these patterns. And when you help get people out of these patterns, then we can establish healthy boundaries with ourselves, and meaning we can see what's us and our stuff and what has nothing to do with us. So if somebody comes with some criticism, we can say, yeah, you know, I'll take that. But actually, that has nothing to do with me. Do you understand? And that way we can start to have healthy relationships and set healthy boundaries. And when I say set healthy boundaries, I mean a lot of what we do is just reacting. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, even a lot of these black on black crime or situations with the police. Like, if we use healthy mindfulness, if we just observe our surroundings, use awareness, understand, you know, see where people are and not react to them prematurely, then a lot of these situations can be avoided. Mm-hmm. If I know where you're coming from, then I can make a choice whether I want to deal with you or not. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? And if I see where you're coming from, I can make healthy ways to work with you if I have to be in the same environment with you. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to let your energy take me out. And so many of us just give our energy away to other people. And we are just like basically the outer world. You know, there's a saying in spirituality where that says that there's only us in the universe, mm-hmm. which means that everything we get is us. It's only a reflection of what we need in order to grow in that moment. And growth requires a proper way to look at the situation and get the lesson from those situations. And then those situations stop happening because we got the lesson and we don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, most people recycle through the same partners and same people and same energies. They might switch partners,
issues,
but it's a
problems
us, because it's different. Us. Mm-hmm. And we carry that wherever we go. So it doesn't matter, you know, who's on the outside. We're going to have the same issues. So I try to help people deal with their issues. So, you know, living in the land of government jobs, meaning DC, where people, you know,
good government jobs.
Well, good government jobs, right? But that's a delusional state, right? Mm. Meaning, you know, the idea that something on the outside of us is going to give us the kind of security that we think that we need, right? Right. So here, when you ask me about purpose, you know, so if let's say somebody comes in and they have whatever disease, autoimmune syndrome, any kind of disease. And, you know, you settled for this idea that I'm meant to be an artist, but my parents convinced me I needed to be a lawyer or an accountant. Mm-hmm. And I go out and, you know, I got so many people who are just trying to get to retirement. They know they should have never been doing what they're doing, but they're just trying to get through. And then there's this idea that once I retire, then I'll get to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But the universe doesn't work like that. The universe does not support that at all. So a lot of times people get right up to the end and they're like, man, I can't even go one more day up in there. You know, when I go to work, as soon as I put my hand on the door to open my office, the arthritis starts.
Wow.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, you have to question people
to get there.
Uh-huh. But once you get there, then they see how these things are affecting them. And then they come up and they say, you know what? This ain't working for me. I need to do what I love.
And how do you incorporate that with the economic component? So
well, I mean, people get themselves in situations that they need to work out. So sometimes
that's absolutely
you're
real.
In this job and you have a family and you have to pay the bills. So even, you know, the energetic medicine helps people put things into perspective,
mm-hmm.
Because we become these things. We think we're our job. We take them on as a false identity. You understand? So you have to take people out of these false identities and you bring them closer to their true nature. So disease is always the way that we engage in duality. So on one hand, we put our likes on one side and we say, this is where I want to get to. You understand? Whether that like means, you know, a job with a certain amount of money, mm-hmm. a certain kind of spouse, you know, a certain kind of car,
right.
whatever it is. We put this over here, and then we say, we put numbers on the other end of that. I never want to be broke. I never want an ugly woman. I never, you know, I never, seriously, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, but if our energy is not in alignment with our soul's purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And this always that we've created is not even in the ballpark of what we're supposed to be doing in our life, then we have a disease. Because in order to get these things, it's an artificial effort.
Your soul might want an
right,
ugly
but,
woman.
Right, but the soul, you know, in every tradition, you know, there's this, you know, thy will, not my will. But if you're living that life, then you can never get to the thy will in that. Do you understand? So what people do is they use all their energy to get to these false places. And then when they can't get there, they give up. And then the bottom falls out and they end up with all the nevers. Do you understand? So I never wanted this. I never wanted that. So our biggest fears come to eat dinner with us.
And then it's just despair.
Right. So I help people get out of this type of fluctuation. So it meaning when you stop people from just going, because all of this, you know, I come from a history of addiction. And in that addiction, I had to realize that the withdrawal symptoms, the stuff that I thought I didn't
like. Is this
like,
personal or
yeah,
this
personal,
is your mother?
On a personal level. Uh-huh. Yeah. The withdrawal symptoms was like a period like, oh, man, you know, it's the worst thing ever. You beat yourself up. You know, you're no good. You've lied to everybody. And so, but what I had to realize was I was just as addicted to the withdrawal part and the beating myself up. Mm-hmm. As I was to the substance. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? That was part of the whole thing. And so I had to, in the end, give up the beating myself up in order to walk away from the substance. Do you understand? Because it would be, I haven't beat myself up in a long time.
And there are homeopathic.
So, yes, there's homeopathic remedies that help people because this is the duality. But if you ask the person, are you addicted to negativity? They'll be like, no way. There's no way I'm trying to create pain in my life. Mm-hmm. But we do, because the emotional body just wants a sensation. It doesn't care what the sensation is. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So if you can't get joy and happiness, it's going to give you pain and suffering. And your energy just wants that fluctuation. So when we talk about meditation, mindfulness, you know, meditation is the practice of going within. Mindfulness is the practice of keeping your energy in the present moment from a soul perspective. Do you understand?
Yep.
So working with that kind of awareness to understand, you know, who you are and what your purpose is. So we don't get distracted because, you know, just jumping out of your car in road rage can get you taken out.
Right.
Do you understand where you should have been going to work to take care of your family and not and got distracted by anybody on the way. Like their anger is not your anger unless you take it on and you react. And then there's unknown consequences for that.
Right.
So I help people to get out of these patterns. And even when we start talking about diet and nutrition, you know, because people come to me because I'm a naturopath. They don't necessarily know what we do. And they know I help people change their lifestyle. But, you know, unless someone is relatively healthy, they have a hard time changing their lifestyle because food is not just food. Food is all their wasted dreams. It's that relationship that went bad. It's, you know, but it's not just the nutrients that they're getting from what they're eating. And it needs to become that. Do you understand? And not that we need to override our taste buds. I think we should enjoy our food just like anything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so much, you know, when we think of psychism, right? Psychism is not somebody sitting there doing voodoo and burning a candle in this day and age. Psychism is driving down one of these streets, going past the yellow and red McDonald's and all these fast food restaurants without pulling in there to buy something you don't need. It's all the advertisements on these billboards that we have to go through. It's, you know,
and
these
how
computers.
You don't let them affect you.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the real psychism that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You understand? But if we're weak, we just get drawn in. You know, and then you end up like charging up your credit card because you walked into this store and you didn't mean to buy that, but it showed up and you've seen 100 advertisements, which you don't even realize you've seen them, but they're lurking in the background of your subconscious. And you go and buy something and you bring it home and that ruins all your relationships. You understand?
Wow.
So,
you know, in a slight tangent, I was recently having a conversation with myself about cable.
Mercy.
And the cable, the wild thing about cable is you're paying someone to sell stuff to you.
Right, so, and there's like, you know, nowadays people have like 500 channels.
Yeah,
you know, I used
yeah.
to go
they
to my
still only watch
like,
a half a dozen.
and they make money by selling commercials. You know,
right.
So the television shows make money by selling commercials. So again, you're paying someone a couple hundred dollars a month
to sell
stuff to you. With the you know, injection of entertainment along
right.
the way.
And we can look
yeah,
at that.
I thought cable was ad free.
Yeah, right.
It's not only ad free, even, you know, the concepts that are displayed in some of these storylines related to love are not healthy.
They're selling that. Yeah.
You know, we can go into the music and these, you know, the concepts that are being projected in the music that we listen to are not healthy. You did this to me. I'm a victim. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things really affect us. And then we can go even into, you know, like the more negative forms of hip hop, you know, and then you look back and you see like the same corporate, these companies that are heavily involved in the prison industrial complex are the same companies giving out lucrative contracts, or they own other
wow.
companies that give out lucrative contracts to these gangster rappers.
And then they've
created a revolving
yeah.
door in and out of the penitentiary.
Yeah.
And it's a new form of slavery.
Yeah.
But nobody stepped back because we say, I should be able to listen to that music. And if I'm healthy, I'm not going to go out and kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I think we need to think about things like thought atmospheres, which means that the stuff that we put into our minds is going to manifest itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that relates to the company that we keep, you understand? Because if we listen to that stuff and we put that stuff in our mind, then we're more likely to hang out in environments where, you know, people do dumb things.
Right.
You understand? So
and
so all of this is a part
of
health, mm. you know. So health starts, on a psychic level. So when people come in, most people, again, don't know what I do. So the first medicine I do is homeopathy, which is really about identifying these patterns and giving something to people that helps them break these patterns. And then we introduce them to health, which means we give them a detox diet that we put them on. And we really teach people the energetics of the disease that they're dealing with from a very simple perspective using Chinese medicine, using Ayurvedic medicine. I mean, the concepts are very, very simple. You know, it's like heat, cold, damp, dry, you know, and we teach people the qualities of food that counter. So let's say you come in and you have gas and bloating and you're having diarrhea. In Chinese medicine, that is spleen deficiency, which is a damp aggravation. So the foods you want to eat should be drying. You understand? So if you go out and you eat a whole bunch of salad and cold food when you have diarrhea, it's only going to make the situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
So you want foods that are drying.
What's a drying food?
Right.
You can have, there's a bunch of beans that are drying. Okay. You know, there's grains. So we use like congee, stuff like that to help. Mm-hmm. But you want warming and drying. to dispel dampness. Mm. So, you know, we use the energetics of food and teach people the energetics of food. But you know, so we start off with a general detox diet, and then we sort of tailor it more specifically to the disease pattern that the person is dealing with.
Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that will help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk, please follow us, and if via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We are always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy Goering.
Good morning, Frank.
The consummate generalist.
Indeed.
How you doing?
I'm well.
What you got going on?
What do I have going on? Let me see. How would I answer that?
That you want to share.
That I want to share. Yeah. Whoa.
We just had an interesting conversation last night.
We always have interesting off-the-record conversations.
Right.
One of the things I said to you last night was that I feel like I'm in this place of rebalancing and looking at the things that I have in my life that probably need to go. Not because I don't love them. Or I don't enjoy them. I'm in the middle of getting ready to read a book called Essentialism.
You're in the middle of getting ready.
I'm in the middle of getting ready. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's been, and I say what I mean by that is it's been suggested that I read this book called Essentialism.
Uh-huh.
So I've been listening to summaries and lectures by the guy who wrote the book. I haven't gotten to the book yet. So that's what I mean when I say I'm in the middle of getting ready.
You got it.
And so I'm just looking in given my peripheral understanding of what the book is actually about, at what is in my life that really isn't essential.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, what am I saying yes to that I should probably be saying no to? Maybe not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not as often as I have been. So maybe you could say studying the energy patterns get me into trouble.
This is the time of year that, you know, we're coming up on the winter solstice, right?
Right.
So, you know, and we've just passed the harvest festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, if you look at, like, the solar cycle, you know, the winter solstice is, you know, internally it represents the birth of the Christ within us. I mean, and I don't mean that in just a
religious
mm-hmm. way. I'm talking about in a spiritual way, because if you look at the metaphor of the virgin birth and the Savior, that exists in many different religious traditions, and it represents the part of the solar cycle. So basically, the harvest festival, you know, as the year, what happens in the harvest festival is we reaped the energies from the previous cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And so you do want to take this time of year, you know, from, let's say, Thanksgiving into, you know, the winter solstice is December 21st through, like, the 24th.
That's this year or all the time?
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas was not necessarily a fixed date that a certain person was born.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It just represents that part of the season.
Mm.
Because that sort of festival and festivals like that exist in other cultures as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's around the winter solstice. And the winter solstice represents the time of year when the moon, the feminine aspect, is at its height. And the solar aspect is about to return.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So which is like the first of the year. So the winter solstice is the longest day of the year. The sun emerges And then you start with the sun going up to its highest day of the year, which is the summer solstice, which is June 21st. Mm. So, you know, if we use our intent, which is, I'm sure, part of what the book is sort of saying, like, we want to direct this process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it's meditation or just contemplation about what is real for us and what's not real for us, meaning what pertains to the health of our soul and the lessons that we need to get and the stuff that we simply let go, now is the time to really put effort out to let that go, because the universe and the cycles, I should say, supports that right now.
Okay.
And they also support us. You know, there is something behind, you know, this concept of, what do you call it, New Year's resolutions,
right?
Because that is the right time related to the solar cycle to be making resolutions, to be setting our intention and getting rid of things that we don't need and try to be reborn into the things that are healthy for us. So, you know, detox diets, mm-hmm. you know, they, when you do it and you do these things in harmony with nature, because health is living your purpose, understanding karma, and living in harmony with our surroundings. So most of us living in these cities, we don't have a concept of living in harmony with nature. We don't know when the moon is full or the moon is new. We don't look outside. You know, we have modern comforts that we all like. But they do separate us from these natural cycles. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we live a life, you know, part of being healthy in a natural sense, you know, no matter what disease people have, even changing people changing their diets, as they change their diet in a healthy way, they realize that the healthy things, healthy choices for them are also healthy choices for their surroundings and for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but at this time of year, all of that stuff is supported. So to start eating healthy foods, then you develop a pattern, and it's supported by your surroundings, you know. But what we've done is we've made this thing into a holiday, which is about materialism. And then, you know, we start with all the gluttony. So mm-hmm. you go and it's about, you know, and now people are more affluent. So, you know, you go to folks' houses and it's not just a turkey or a roast. They have a fried turkey, a baked turkey, a honey roasted ham, you know, all these.
So,
and then it just becomes overindulgence.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like you have a hangover, you know, from actually spending time and doing things that should be healthy for you, which is spending time with the loved ones and the people who are important in your life and helping them set intentions to aspire to be the best that they could be
in the coming year.
Yes.
Yeah. You got anything planned for the winter solstice? That didn't even come up for you. You didn't say that, but I want, you know, I wonder, does that touch
you? Typically, I engage in some level of fasting and get a little bit more intense about my meditation practice,
mm-hmm.
and start plotting how I'm going to really live out my year. When I stop to think about it, more spiritually than anything.
Mm.
And then how the rest of my life is going to kind of happen around that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Today's guest believes that a doctor may have tools such as acupuncture, homeopathy, herbs, and supplements to facilitate health. However, it's ultimately an education about what health is and how to maintain it that empowers patients to take control of their well-being. These lifestyle and environmental changes can include diet and nutrition, career and relationship values, and many others. And they all lead to living a harmonious, healthy life. He's a practicing naturopath, and he's been helping to influence the health and wellness of our community for almost 20 years. So, if you, like me, want to know what the significance of the phrase beans, greens, and grain is, what homeopathy is and whether it works or not, and why men might want to stay away from soy-based products. Then stay tuned as your Frank relationship team talks with naturopath Dr. Nazir Ankh. Amen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're well already
into the show. Yes, welcome.
I can't even say before we get too deep into today's subject matter.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to check in and see what's going on in the news. Certainly, Dr. Amen, please don't be bashful. I don't get the impression you are. So as we throw around something or another, what you got, Nancy? You got anything for me?
Actually, I have this concept called sapiosexuality. And it essentially is a term assigned to being attracted to someone's intellect.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I guess that does not work for just
anyone.
walking down the street and seeing someone.
Someone who's physically attractive?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could find somebody intellectually stimulating and or attractive who doesn't necessarily float your boat physically.
Mm-hmm.
But because you feel so drawn to how they think and how they, I guess, come up with different ideas and ideologies and philosophies, that you can get past all that.
Sapiosexual,
yes.
Okay.
That seems a step above the normal sexual.
Right.
Yes. It requires that you at least get past the physical.
And right. That you talk. Or hear.
Most discriminatively, you need to talk.
Okay. The big words end up throwing the host off. You know, I can't deal with this.
Listen, that's like it's a made up word, but I like it. Don't go looking for it.
All right. Dictionary. Don't look it up.
Yes.
Okay, here is what I got.
I've
talked about this in the past, but certain relationship experts think that a 10-year contract should replace marriage.
Oh, 10 years?
10 years. I've heard 5 years.
I've heard 7.
So...
I used to call it a lease agreement.
I think we should stick to the day-to-day plan.
Day-to-day plan.
That's real.
I love it. But you're married, right?
Yes, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you know, so let's go back to the example of the lion in the jungle, right?
Okay.
So this person comes back, you know, they have this pattern. Now, let's say the pattern never gets addressed and it's 20 years later. So that same person is walking around every day having a fight or flight reaction. So his adrenal glands are fatigued. You know, he might have some eye problems because his eyes are always on hyper-awareness about what to look for next that could be dangerous in the environment. You know, they might be getting in arguments or even having things not go their way. And then at night they go to sleep, but they're having, you know, dreams that they're fighting people. But it was really just a mild argument, right? So that pattern is blocking any healthy sort of relationship. So let's say we use homeopathy, acupuncture, meditation to get this person out of the pattern. So to have healthy relationships, you have to see past your own energy is what I'm trying to say. And that could, you know, and then when we get to
even... What do you mean see past my own energy?
Meaning we have our issues. All of us come here with issues, right? And so, but there are issues and they're unique to us. So somebody can come and, you know, like I'm the kind of person that, you know, patients who come to me, I just recently had a couple patients who came back to me after, you know, 10 years, right? And they're like, Dr. Amen, you know, we came to see you. And basically, you just rubbed me the wrong way, like, which was...
That was 10 years ago?
Yeah. And
they left.
And they left. They were like, you were just too straightforward, and I couldn't handle it. Like, you told me what I needed to hear, but it wasn't really what I wanted to hear.
But I'm back, because I need to hear it
right,
again.
Because I went to two or three other practitioners in the meantime, did... what they said, and I'm still in the same place. And they were nicer, and I liked them, but it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Wow. So now I realize the true meaning of what you said, and now I'm willing to work those things out. Okay. Right? So you know, I guess when people come back to me and they're like, and they say stuff like that, or even when they say, I can't take that personal. I can even ask them to forgive me for the way that I come across, but rarely am I asking them to forgive me for what I said. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Because in meaning I am looking at that person and I'm putting them before my own needs. Meaning if we don't want anything from someone else, then the advice or our interaction with them is really for their sake. Do you understand?
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not necessarily for our sake. So in all of our relationships, if we can't see ourselves, then we don't see how we're creating codependencies wherever we go. And they might be mild, they might be very intense, where we are taking all the energy from the people that are around us. But what we want to get to is where we're actually having relationships where it's a at least mutual, but mostly that we're able, I mean, we're spiritual beings. We come here to give to our surroundings. We shouldn't come to take. So as we get healthier and we have clearer boundaries, because boundaries means I see me and I have, you know, in Chinese medicine, right? The way that disease works, it's almost like they look at the body as if it was a castle. So if you're a healthy person, you have like a, you know, a big old fence outside, the things with the crosses with mm-hmm. the points going mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. You might have some barbed wire. And then you got a moat around the castle. And then you got these big old walls. And then you got the outer court. And then you got the inner court. And then you got the sanctuary on the inside, mm-hmm. right? So if we're healthy, nothing comes from way outside straight into the sanctuary, right? But for many of us, that's exactly what happens. You know, people say what we think we want to hear, and we just let them straight in. And those are really, we just let the wolves in. I mean, look at the elections. But like, we're so willing to do that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
So we have to be careful that we're not getting tricked up in this way. So when we're healthy, you know, first of all, we're patient because we don't want anything. Even if you see somebody that you're attracted to, if you exercise patience, then you could let them reveal themselves to you outside of that attraction, because a healthy relationship should not be with who I'm necessarily physically attracted to, because that's a program, that's a condition. Mm-hmm. It should be to the people who are healthy for us as a soul, meaning we're walking in the same direction, our interests are the same, we support the best of each other. Do you understand?
Sure.
So in that sense, being in a healthy relationship means that we have to get over all of these wrong definitions first. So we might cycle through a few relationships just to get over wrong definitions and finally see, well, damn, the pattern is my pattern, mm-hmm. because my complaint is the same about everybody. You know, I once had a lady who came in and she worked for the in some government clearance agency, and she was really, the first time she came in, she was looking under my desk. I'm like, what are you looking for? She's like, I'm looking to see if there's any recording devices in here. I'm like, really? And so,
wow.
So she was like, you know, she was really concerned about what I would do with her health records. And really, for the first 3 or 4 visits, I couldn't get any information out of this lady, just because she was like, you know, I'm a good Christian and I don't do this. So everything that she told me was in the negative.
Uh-huh,
right?
What she doesn't do.
What she doesn't mm-hmm. do. And so, and I eat healthy and I don't do that and I don't do that. So she's overcompensated in this direction. So finally one day I didn't have my pen in my hand and she walked in and she starts talking. And she's like, oh, my husband, he does this, 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 and this. And he acted like this, and he was just this. So it's all, and then she starts talking about another mm-hmm. man that she knew. And she said the exact same thing about him. Then it clicked in my head, she's talking about herself. Mm-hmm. Because she said the same exact thing about 2 different people. So I prescribed a homeopathic remedy based on what she said about these other people instead of what she said about herself. And that's when this lady had chronic fatigue syndrome and where your body's tender. I'm trying to think of what it is.
Fibromyalgia. Okay.
So she went home. The remedy that I gave her is known for a really negative attitude. So she went home, and she was one of these Christians. So I never curse. She went home. She cussed for a week, and after about 2 weeks, all of her physical symptoms went away. That's the power of homeopathy. But I would have never got there if I wouldn't really see what she was saying. Do you understand? So, and expect for her to even be in a healthy relationship, because in someone like that, they're looking, you know, they're taking people for face value because they're so insecure in themselves. So okay. If you say what I want to hear, then again, you let these people get all the way into the inner chamber, but they don't deserve that. Right, do you understand? Right. And so we have to, if we're healthy, we have those boundaries up. You know, we can see, okay, I can let you through the gate. I'm going to put the drawbridge down. I'll let you into the outer sanctum. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'll watch you. But I don't recommend, you know, in terms of marriage and things like that, I think, you know, this idea of shacking up is probably better than these other contracts that we make.
Right.
Because we need to get to know the people before we get into all these legal situations with them, which is what a marriage contract is. Because the social institutions are not what they always were. So before you had a church system that if you were in the same church and I'm in the same church, then in that church, there's a social structure that's going to keep us both in check to hold us to a certain level
of accountability,
which is a rite of passage, which is marriage, which means to be committed to another person beyond your conflicts with them. Do you understand? Which is what love. So love for me is an experience of oneness. Love, nobody can take love away from you once you have it. And it's not an emotion that you have towards something that you like. It's the experience of oneness that comes through practices like meditation and practicing mindfulness. So then I know that I can't do anything harmful to anything else because ultimately I'm doing that to myself. Mm-hmm. You understand? So when we understand that, we get and we break up these definitions. So then the relationship is really about finding people who resonate in a similar vibration as where we're resonating. Do you understand? So in that sense, any relationship is a one-on-one relationship. I don't care if it's with your husband or with your brother. You understand? Right. The relationship that I have with you should represent a certain level of boundaries between me and you and nobody else. Do you understand?
Okay.
So in that sense, you know, marriage is a commitment, but it's really an internal commitment that we should have to ourselves about how we interact with other people. Do you understand? And it is an outer commitment to the world, obviously. But as we see in with the divorce, I heard you state some divorce stats on your website last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's because these things have become so superficial is why marriage doesn't work.
Right.
You know, we don't have rites of passage in this society. We don't have a set of standards that said, this is what makes you a man. You went out, you killed that lion. Now you're a man in our culture. We don't have those kinds of things. We say you're 18, go for it. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, mm-hmm. you know, but we don't recognize it as a problem.
Well, how do you do something like that day to day?
What
even
do you mean?
For 10 years.
Well, you said, she said she was.
Day to day means we live in the present moment.
Yeah, but you don't walk away.
You don't, because there is a commitment.
Right.
So I'm not saying the present moment like one night stand present moment. I'm saying the present moment as in we keep things in the present moment. So when I bring up an issue, I'm talking about what we're dealing with now, and I'm not talking about
not
what
two
happened
weeks ago
2 weeks
in the
ago or 3 weeks ago.
Got it.
Or you look like my father or you look like my mother. And this is what they did, and this is what I'm expecting you to do. So when are you going to pull that out the hat? Because really, that energy has nothing to do with the person in front of you.
Right.
You understand?
You.
So the present moment means I'm dealing with you with the situation that's at hand now.
That suggests that the two people have done a lot of inner work, though.
Well, I mean, I'm in a place where the people around me are doing the inner work. You can't be around me if you're not doing inner work.
Well, I just want to say, for the sake of the conversation and anybody listening, you just don't wake up one day and your issues are gone.
Well, and I don't expect our issues to be gone. And that's part of the boundaries thing. If I know, if I can identify, most people can't even identify their issues.
Right, okay.
You understand? They project them to the outer world. That's that whole mirror thing that we're talking about. There's only us.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it comes out in the dreams. It comes out in other people. So just like this lady, I couldn't get what was wrong with her until she gave me criticism on the people that were close to her. You understand? And so then I got to see how she processed things in terms of the way that she expressed it. But we are only capable of getting what we receive. Meaning we can give, if in homeopathy we have like a book we call the repertory or the materia medica. And you, if you look in there, all the people who are sensitive to violence or the homeopathic remedies that have a sensitivity to violence, if you look under the rubric striking, they're there too, which means that they can give it out just like they're afraid of getting it. Mm-hmm. So, but when we lose those capacities in ourselves, then we don't have to worry about attracting that in a relationship.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Sure.
And it's so, like, it reminds me of a belief that I have. And I have this belief based on my interactions with certain people. Like, I know people who what I'm about to say fits, where it's the people who are most suicidal are also homicidal.
Right.
And it's a cycle.
Well, it's a view. It's how people perceive a pace that they're living at. Mm-hmm. So for some people, their stock could crash and, you know, it's just like, I'll rebuild it. Other people, it's the end of the world. Yeah. It was their kingdom. They worked so hard. They cannot see a recovery from that event. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, I might as well not be here. Mm-hmm. You know, and the people who made this happen shouldn't be here either.
So some go postal and some jump out the window.
Right, exactly.
But it's the same energy.
Right, so, but it is a perspective. But it's just like 10 people could bump their toe on a post and one person would be like, oh, that really hurt. They might yell out some expletives, but it's over. Mm-hmm. The next person would be like, oh, I need to go
to the doctor,
my toe, I need to go and get an x-ray. Right. The next person would be like, Bob Marley, you know, he was playing soccer, he hit his toe and then he had cancer and he didn't realize, you know, mm-hmm. like our minds go all these different places, mm-hmm. but they really resonate with what our particular fears are in those situations. So one person, they don't need to go to the hospital. The other person, they got to go to the hospital. The other one wants an MRI to make sure they don't have cancer. It's
right.
all kinds of stuff. But these are different perspectives on seemingly similar events.
Would you speak on beans, greens, and grains?
Yes.
Especially in the wake of, what is this thing going on? I got greens, beans, tomatoes, grenades, well, carrots. You know, I don't. You, hey, you're like.
Oh, it's a beautiful little. I guess I like this hip hop, but.
Well, I'm looking forward to this because I'm actually struggling with this whole idea that grains kill your brain, kind of thing.
All right,
You know, there's a new movement now. It's like
stay
these folks
away
out
from
here
grains. Whole 30.
Who are into this paleo movement. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what they're doing, they're really living at the top of the food chain in a very sort of unsustainable way.
So paleo is what?
Paleo is meat and vegetables,
okay,
mainly. They cut out the grains altogether.
Mm-hmm. And
it comes from this sort of concept that, you know, we just came out of a cave and, mm-hmm. you know, which that ain't true for all. I mean, we're all Homo sapiens sapiens, but mm-hmm. there's only a particular Homo sapiens sapien that actually
came
just
out
came
of
out of a cave.
Right.
So that might be part of their experience, live in a cold, harsh environment, mm-hmm. you know, where there are no vegetables growing and the first thing you see you need to eat, which is usually an animal or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the history of most human beings. You know, most of us come from cultures that have actually were agrarian cultures, which basically all of civilization started. Ancient Kemet, Mesopotamia, they all had granaries. Mm-hmm. They developed agriculture. And those societies were able to flourish because they had grains. Now, the problem with grains in this day and age is the way that we process grains that has really made, you know, if you take wheat, you know, there is a certain way that wheat can be processed, you know, because now the big thing is like gluten-free right. and, you know, wheat belly, which is like the dull mind and the, right. the bloated. But it's really the way that they process the wheat. So back in the day, you know, when you think about bread, sourdough, which is a natural fermentation process, which actually converts a lot of the stuff in wheat that's indigestible to more digestible forms and takes the stuff, basically it makes it a lot more body friendly to do. And when you use cultured leavening, which is like cultured leavening is not a natural yeast, it's a cultivated yeast. So they take a yeast, they grow it somewhere, and then they add it. And that makes it go a lot quicker, right? Okay. And so that's the kind of bread that we're eating that does not work well for a lot of people.
Okay.
You understand? But it's really a matter of processing. And then, of course, we have, you know, processed grains, which means that they take the bran. The bran represents the fiber, and it also represents the protein and the vitamins mm-hmm. of the grain. So most of the grains that people are eating, they take the bran off, and they do it for commercial reasons so that shelf stabilizes. So even if you go into even the health food store and you look at a package of bread that's sitting on the shelf, it might say whole wheat, but if you look on the label a little bit further, the main ingredient is not whole wheat, it's going to be enriched wheat. Do you understand? So it was some kind of white flour or pastry flour.
And then
they added back some stuff.
Right.
And they could say whole wheat, but really, if it's shelf stable like that, then it's not going to be healthy for you.
So beans, greens, and grains healthy?
So what we recommend to people, you know, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for 25 years.
Awesome.
And it works for me.
Okay.
But I don't expect the whole world to be vegan. But we do recommend most of the diseases that people have in America are diseases of excess, which means if we're using food for comfort instead of for nutrition, right, then we're overeating, but we're eating stuff. You know, we have to look at the fact that our farmlands for the past 100 years, they've been spraying chemicals on them, pesticides, herbicides. And this stuff has depleted all the vitamins and minerals in the soil. So we're eating foods from that are grown in these demineralized soils, right? And if you eat this, then you can't get the nutrients from this. So it's called overfed but undernourished. That's what diabetes is. The body's trying to get these nutrients and it's putting out all this effort to get nutrients, but it can't get anything from the food. So these people are hungry. They have a big thirst because they are not getting, their body's not processing the food in the way that they need to actually get the nutrients. And some of us are walking around in some state of overfed but undernourished. So, and that, because that's the normal state that you get from eating these processed grains, especially.
Foods.
So okay. Whether that's white rice, white bread, the whole wheat bread that have all this that is mostly white flour in it, all of that. But the grains that we recommend are grains like brown rice, quinoa, amaranth, millet, barley, rye in their whole form. So we try to get people to, you know, so if you're going to eat wheat, eat sourdough bread. It's in all grains, if you soak them, that helps them convert to more digestible forms so that you don't get this idea of a wheat belly. So soaking grains for like 6-8 hours or overnight before you actually cook them and pouring off that water, a lot of times that takes the lectins and all the things that are indigestible from the grain, and that gets poured off with the water, and then you actually have a much more digestible grain. So the grains are there, and a lot of these grains like quinoa and amaranth have complete amino acid profiles, because a lot of times they say, oh, you're vegetarian, where are you going to get your protein from, right? And so the problem with a lot of the transitional vegetarian diets is we have this mindset where we need to get protein, and then we end up overeating soy products. And soy products is high in what we call phytoestrogens, and those phytoestrogens enter the body and ended up causing things like fibroids and overgrowth of tissue in female-like fibroids. But in men, it can create an overblown prostate, so benign prostate hypertrophy. But it also, because it's phytoestrogens, it's shrinking your testicles. And so in the end, it ends up ruining your sex life and your sex drive. Ooh. Because it lowers your testosterone levels.
Does it give you man boobs too?
It gives you what?
Man boobs?
It can. If you eat, okay. If you binge on soy, it can do that because okay. It's acting as an estrogen in your body.
Right.
So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is if we eat healthy whole grains and we supplement that with beans. Now, beans is a whole nother thing. People like beans, man. That's like ass for days.
Right.
You know, but there are beans outside of the beans, especially that black folk like to eat, like red beans and kidney beans. Well, black-eyed peas are relatively digestible.
Okay.
The bigger beans tend to be starchier.
Navy beans.
Yeah, the navy beans, okay. The kidney beans, the red beans.
What about
lima? Limas are very gassy. Mm-hmm. They can be gassy.
Black beans?
But a lot of that, black beans are probably one of the more digestible beans.
Okay.
So adduki beans, which is it's a Japanese bean. That is probably one of the most digestible beans.
Okay.
Mung beans. We recommend mung beans for people with weak digestive systems.
Okay.
So there's beans that you can eat that actually sort of support. They are just like the grains. They're high in calcium. They're high in minerals and other vitamins that we need. And so together between the beans and the grains, if you're concerned about getting a complete amino acid profile, which is get all your protein, which I don't even worry about as a vegan. I don't wake up thinking about, oh, let me get some protein today.
You know,
that's not even my thought process. I'm not trying to be a meat eater as a vegetarian. So that then my meals come into, you know, what we talk about, which is the grains, the beans. But you know, in order to be really healthy as a vegetarian, you need the vegetables, you need the greens. So we recommend to people to eat greens on a daily basis. So the kales, the collards, the broccoli greens, you know, all of these greens have chlorophyll in them. They're high in vitamins, folic acid, all of these nutrients that we really need. You know, and of course, general vegetables, which we can talk about vegetables as well. And then we supplement with mushrooms. Mushrooms are very, very, they're a protein, but they're also very cleansing. Like they pull cholesterol out of your system. They pull, you know, they use them.
Any particular one?
What's that?
Cremini.
Oh, I love the shiitake.
Oh, shiitake.
But,
okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
We also like, you know, cremini and portobello, that's the same mushroom.
Okay.
Cremini's are just portobellos that are harvested really early.
Okay.
Yeah, so but they're the same mushroom. But the button mushrooms, which are like the white mushrooms and the cremini mushrooms,
okay.
Tend to be a little bit higher in what do you call it? I think it's uric acid. So if you have gout or something like that, it can aggravate those kinds of situations.
Right. Yes, yeah.
So you want to stay away from that. But for the most part, mushrooms are like a sponge in your system. So they'll go in, soak up cholesterol and even toxins out of the body and pull them from the gut out of your system.
Mm.
So we recommend that people definitely eat, you know, some mushrooms in their diet. And then the greens, you know, so that's a balanced diet for us. And people are like, you know, well what if I want to eat meat? I'm like, well, you can eat meat. Just for one, all meat is not what it seems. And we need to look at the way that there's industries out here. So we need to be clear that just as with medicine, you know, medicine is an industry. So when a drug company comes recommending something, you got to look at what these people are getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't the drug that costs a penny that does the same thing as the drug that costs $10 be prescribed today? And it's not because of the doctors. It's really because of a standard of care that's being created by these pharmaceutical companies, where the latest drug needs to be prescribed or you don't maintain your license because you're not practicing standard of care. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So, but in the food industry, you have some of the same practices where, you know, the bread, you know, the refining of grains is because it sits longer on the shelf. And so we could sell more of it.
Right.
The in the meat industry, you have chickens that are growing from hatch to death in 42 days. And so it's, and you know, people think there's hormones, they're feeding those chickens hormones, but they're not. They're feeding the chickens grains. They're feeding them corn.
Yes.
And chickens were never meant to eat corn for their whole life. They're meant to go out in the yard, scratch, eat some worms, eat some bugs.
Variety.
And eat a variety of stuff. Okay. And then you get in that meat the omega-3, the omega-6, the omega-9 fatty acid profile that's healthy for human beings. When you don't have this and you feed those animals, so chicken is 42 days, pigs are 6 months, cows are 6 months. A cow would normally, if you had a cow and you had it just as a beef cow, before, it would take 2 years for that cow to go to market. Now it takes only six months because they're feeding it grain from birth up to the point that it's actually, you know, I grew up out in the country. We had cows. Cows ate grass. And, you know, we would put them in the barn like a week or two before we went to bring them to slaughter to get the weeds and the grass taste out of the meat. But and they call it a fattening up period. But that didn't mean that the cow was, you know, when you take a cow and you feed it corn and corn stalks for 6 months straight, that cow pretty much has what we call metabolic acidosis, which is like almost we could say animal diabetes. So you're eating a sick animal. Mm-hmm. You know, those chickens, if you don't harvest them in 42 days, at 50 days, they can't even walk. At 60 days, they pretty much die of some disease. So, you know, we tell people, you know, if you're going to eat animals, eat healthy animals. So free range meats, but eat these animals on holidays and special occasions or the weekend and learn how to eat some vegetarian meals, because most people grow up, you know, my father, he grew up in the Great Depression and he used to have this, and he's like, boy, you know, every time I used to try to present him with some food, he's like, is there some meat on that plate? He's like, you know, I grew up in the Great Depression. So finally I asked him one day what that meant. He was like, well, you know, we were children and, you know.
We didn't know our next meal was going
to
come.
Well, no, he said we always had to eat potatoes, white potatoes, because mm-hmm. they were easy to grow. And he's like, the children, if they killed a chicken, and that happened once a week, they would kill a chicken. But the children didn't get the meat. They got to suck on the feet mm-hmm. and the beaks and to eat the gravy.
Wow.
So he's like, I never want to see another white potato on my plate, and I always want a piece of meat on my plate. Mm. And I was like, of course, your energy's stuck in the past. You know, you need to get over that. So anyway, so we recommend people really eat the meats for special occasions if mm-hmm. they choose to mm-hmm. eat them. Most people, once they go vegan and they get balanced in their diet, they don't feel the need to go back and even eat animal products.
Got it. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with naturopath Dr. Nazira Amin. We've been discussing health and how to maintain it. Dr. Amin, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
So my name is Nazira Amin, and it's our clinic is Wisdom Path Healing Center, and it's Wisdom Path.net, WISDOMPATH.net, and our phone number is 301-891-2488.
Along today's journey, we've discussed the winter solstice, living with purpose and living in a manner that's consistent with your purpose, the power of homeopathy, and of course, beans, greens, and grains. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Dr. Nazira Amin.
Peace.
You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr., that's M-R, Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us. And if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.